It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You know him as the Mongoose. Others know him simply as Brian. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette joins us here at high noon on a really bogus day, isn't it, Limits?
Bogus day?
Yeah.
Why is it bogus?
I don't know. Is bogus a bad word? Look at Brian. Look at the hat he has on. Is that Arizona Diamondbacks?
Shaler area Titans, Joe.
Ooh. Wow. That's impressive. Maybe that was the wrong word. I'm awfully tired today. Just a bad day. Just a depressing day. How do you feel, Limits? You were in the stadium.
Yeah, I feel depressed. I feel like it is the same bleep that we've seen over and over and over again. And we're just going to wake up on Groundhog Day again tomorrow because Mike Tomlin will still be the coach and there won't be any signs of moving towards a positive future where something's actually going to be done about it.
What was the locker room like, Brian? What stood out?
I don't think it was really the angriest or most downtrodden locker room of the season, honestly. I don't know if that speaks to guys have been in this position before. I also think it's sort of different watching athletes try to process in real time the season being over and guys are going to go their separate ways. They don't know if they're back. I think it's a weird sort of phase of grief, different than losing a bad game to the Browns in week 17, for instance, when you know you're going to be back out there in another 7 days. So, it was a hollow feeling in that locker room, but for many of them, a familiar feeling, and same for us who were in there covering it.
Man, what about TJ Watt? Now, he's the guy we haven't talked about yet. His quotes were interesting. Do we have that limit? TJ Watt basically saying, don't ask me about the idea of winning a playoff game.
He was podium. They took him to the podium rather than the locker room. But yeah, he was honestly pretty candid. I give him credit for that.
Yeah, he's 0-5 with one sack in his playoff career. Do you have that limit? No.
I have this from TJ Watt.
You got to give them a lot of credit. They played good ball tonight. They were able to move the ball. We weren't able to stop them in critical in downs where it was crucial. Same story. You guys saw what happened.
Same story.
Yeah, man. We did see what happened. How about Aaron Rodgers' future, Brian? Thoughts?
I mean, I came into the year thinking there was almost no chance that he would want to come back for a second season anywhere. And then the up and down nature of this year for the Steelers, it was constantly pinging back and forth. Oh, maybe he will want to play again. Maybe he won't because he just got decapitated by Bud Dupree. Oh, he threw another few touchdowns. Maybe he's feeling good. He says he's Benjamin Buttoning this thing with his body. Oh, he just got sacked by Daniil Hunter again. Maybe he's going to call it a career. Now, after that game, I really think I am leaning more toward he just hangs up the cleats. You don't want to sit in the throne so long that it becomes a rocking chair, Joe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I always say get out a year too early than a year too late. Limits?
So you do think then, Brian, that do you think that's because of it's a Tomlin decision? Do you think it's Aaron Rodgers' decision on his own where he just decides, look, I'm done, I'm stepping away? Or would the team, because we've seen reports that the team would welcome him back, this would be Aaron basically, even with encouragement from the Steelers to come back, saying, no, I'm just going to ride off?
I think it would be his decision. With the Steelers, there aren't really many good quarterback options out there yet again this offseason. It's tricky. The draft hasn't played out the way that I think they probably expected it would have 4, 6, 8 months ago, projecting this class for 2026. The free agent options, I mean, I happen to think Malik Willis is pretty clearly the best option for the Steelers and a number of other teams who might want to bid for his services given what he did in Green Bay. Otherwise, I guess you're looking at Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, maybe some other veteran retread like a Jacoby Brissett or some other rookie that's a project of sorts, maybe with a little more upside than Will Howard. But, I mean, I say all that to say, if Rodgers wanted to come back, I would assume the Steelers would hear him out and, hey, let's talk about what you think this can look like for you. Sell us on, you know, maybe your body still being in good shape physically. But I know we talked about it last week, guys, and I feel like we saw it last night. He just can't evade pressure anymore. And, you know, you lose so much, I think, in today's NFL when you don't have that quarterback who can escape a near sack, pick up some yardage with his legs. I saw a lot of that in Wild Card Weekend, and I worry that severely caps his ability to do much of anything for this team next year, even if he returns.
Brian Batko on our YouTube channel, numbers skyrocketing there, probably more than ever today, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, I guess. He's also on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I want to tell you that vacations begin here at the Pittsburgh Travel Showcase presented by AAA Travel, January 23rd through the 25th at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Exclusive discounts, convenient one-stop shopping. Dream it, plan it, book it, experience it. Tickets and details at PittsburghTravelShowcase.com, where your vacation is waiting for you. So, Brian, let's talk about the coach then. What do you think will happen? Do you think he gets the 2027 clause exercised on his contract by Art? Do you think they move on? Do you think it's just business as usual?
I don't think they would fire him, first of all. I just don't think that the Steelers have that in them. I don't think Art Rooney II wants to go to that nuclear option, no matter how bleak it is. And, you know, you can probably still sit in that owner's box that they showed on TV last night and convince yourself we just won the AFC North Division. It's not that bad. This too shall pass. But I do think the trend in his own stated impatience in recent years to start winning some playoff games, maybe they don't pick up that option and then things get really uncomfortable for everybody. You know, I know that there's this school of thought of, oh, you can't go into a year where it's the last season under contract for your head coach and he's a lame duck. I mean, to that, I would just say, why not? These two sides have been together for so long that, I mean, any sort of like, facade of leveraging or positioning or posturing or high stakes game of chicken from one side or the other, I think that's almost out the window because the proof's in the pudding with what they haven't done in recent years.
Man, is there any chance they trade him?
Here's what I would say about a trade scenario, Joe, and I've been saying this for at least a year now, maybe going back however many years it's been since these scenarios were floated. I look at it kind of through two different lenses. I don't think you'd ever see a situation where the Steelers are, this comes back to what I just said, I don't think you'd ever see a situation where they just say, Mike, we're done with you. We're going to trade you. You know, if you don't like your destination, then I guess you'll step away from coaching. No, I don't think they would do that to him after nearly two decades together in this relationship with a Super Bowl ring on their fingers as well from it. But I think if they have these tough conversations after another season that ends like this, and they come to the agreement of maybe it's time for a fresh start for both of us and a change of scenery, why wouldn't you just keep the option on the table of, hey, Mike, how about we explore a trade? It's not like we'll ship you to somewhere you don't want a front office, and they give the head coach the ingredients, and now we can evaluate this coach simply on how he does with the talent assembled. I think that's an interesting path to consider. And if they go that way, I swear I'm getting to your question, Joe. If you're rebuilding, do you just blow up this core, whether it's Cam, TJ, both? I think that would have to be on the table.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Brian Batko on the line. I just saw an unbelievable number up on the Pat McAfee show here. The one we know in this seven-game playoff losing streak for Tomlin, which is now tied for the longest in the history of professional football with Marvin Lewis, the Steelers have been outscored 70-3 in first quarters after leading 3-0 last night, which was a major triumph. 73-3, I should say. 73-3.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was 73-0 coming into last night's game.
How could I forget that field goal? So 73-3 in the first quarters, they've been outscored in this seven-game playoff losing streak. Here's the one that I didn't know. They have trailed for every single snap of every second half in those games. Oh my God, Brian. I mean, that is just such an indictment. They just haven't been competitive. They haven't come close to winning any of those games.
And they've faced a deficit of 21 plus points in all of them as well. So last night's was kind of weird in that I know there are some out there, if you want to call them Steelers apologists or Tomlin apologists or just glass half full fans, pointing out that they were only down 7-6 going into the fourth quarter and then it got away from them, which is true. But to which I would respond, it shouldn't have been 7-6. It felt like it was much worse than 7-6 because C.J. Stroud was trying to give Aaron Rodgers a retirement present by just handing the ball back to him numerous times where, sure, the Steelers' defense was, you know, they were in the vicinity, which was good, but it's not like they were really forcing those turnovers a lot of the time. The catch by Brandon Echols, I thought, was a great interception, but at that point, I looked at it as the score was not as close as it indicated at that point. And I think you have to keep that in mind if you want to say that the final score also was not indicative.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits the mere thought of not inviting you in for a follow-up question has Brian back go near a breakdown.
Well, I wanted to ask this, Brian. Is Jalen Ramsey going to be done? Is that era over? What's going to happen at safety? And would you make it a priority to extend Joey Porter Jr.?
I don't know what happens at safety. I guess with Ramsey, too, because of the versatility, you could still make a case that, hey, we had this plan for him to be, you know, supersized slot corner. He's not really going to have to run with the outside guys as much as he did early in his career. We still like him in that role, and that obviously got thrown into flux because Darius Slay couldn't play anymore this year. So maybe that would cause them to bring him back, but that trade in retrospect, guys, I mean, it was kind of like that meme where the guy, you know, slaps the whatever that sticky stuff is on the hole, and it doesn't really do anything, at least not in the playoffs. So Joey Porter Jr. to me for sure is a priority. I think he's a piece of the puzzle going forward. You need a corner like that. Shoot, you might need two of them. At least you do if you want to be a defense like the Texans ones that we saw last night.
How about DK Metcalf moving forward, Brian? Will we be surprised at anything that happens there? It sounds like they're sort of in a bind to have to keep him next season, but that there's an out after next season. Is that right?
I mean, ironically, they weren't in a bind because of the fan incident in Detroit with the, you know, the contract stuff voiding guaranteed money because of clauses in there. And yet, you know, there's been so much reporting that they're not going to go down that road with DK, which I wholeheartedly believe. But yeah, I'll be honest, for someone who really liked that trade and praised it a lot from the Steelers and Omar and Mike's perspective and thought DK was a clear-cut number one receiver, disappointing end to this season for him. I mean, not just the off-field issue in Detroit, but you know, the concentration drops or whatever you want to call them at times this year, and a big one popping up last night. I don't know if I said it with you guys last week or somewhere else, but I felt like it could have gone one of two ways, you know, rested, fresh legs, or a little bit of rust for a guy who already is not the most sure-handed receiver in the league. So I would think that they still believe in him and still have a much higher opinion of him football character-wise and general character-wise than George Pickens, but I think he was a little bit of a letdown by the end of this year.
Percent chance we run it all back. Tomlin as the head coach and de facto defensive coordinator with Terrell Austin, our friend Artie as the offensive coordinator and Rodgers as the quarterback.
3%. I don't think that's
which one of those most likely to change?
I think Terrell Austin has to fall on the sword after the way this season went. And I would say this, if you're the Steelers and you're going to try to paint the picture of why you want to keep Mike Tomlin in place, if that is indeed what they choose to do, I think the next sort of most significant change you can make would be, hey, Mike, we're going to bring in a new defensive coordinator, turn the unit completely over to him. Maybe he wants to revamp it, make it a 4-3 and more of an even front, and just fully, you know, rebuild what we do on that side of the ball. And hopefully he can do that quickly because we believe in the talent that we have here. I think you could at least squint and say, okay, this is the Steelers doing something marginally drastic, but I don't know if they'll go that route. But to your question, Joe, I mean, for as much as we criticize and scrutinize the Steelers for being so stagnant, I mean, I don't think even they would do that. They've made changes over the years, you know, firing Matt Canada midseason, the big quarterback changes every year, of course, but obviously they are always a little bit more resistant to changes on the coaching side.
Lastly, Brian, do you think that they're determined, still determined, assuming they have been, to move assets and get a quarterback in this draft?
I think they're determined because I think that's been the long-term vision for quite a while now. But like I mentioned earlier, I mean, it's just not shaping up to be a feasible plan. I think Dante Moore is a big pendulum swing there if he decides to come out of Oregon. I don't think there's been any news on that since the loss to Indiana in the college football playoff. I know he was shaky in that game, but I guess this could be a classic case of, hey, not the worst thing for the Steelers if he hurts his stock a little bit, and not that he's going to drop all the way to the 20s, but if he's down a little bit and one of these teams picking in the top 5 or top 10 aren't as enamored with him, maybe you could still move up and grab him if you're a believer. You know, Ty Simpson is in the mix, but that doesn't really move the needle for me. I think it's going to be hard for them to go that route. I think the Raiders are going to jump right on Fernando City Limits Mendoza.
All right, Brian. Thank you for everything this year, man. You were great. Hopefully we'll be talking again.
Thanks for having me on every Tuesday. Congrats on your new gig, Joe.
Appreciate that. We'll be talking, buddy.
This is like the end of the school year, especially for me and you with the PG.
Yeah.
News. It's like the players last night in the locker room. We're leaving, and we don't know when or where or if we'll see each other again, and if so, in what capacity.
Such is life. This is the end of high school. We're off to college. We're off on our own. It's been a wonderful time, and it's very sad, isn't it, Limits?
I'm tearing up right now as we speak.
Don't cry because it's over, Joe. Smile because it happened.
I like that saying. See you, buddy.
Bye, Brian.
Keep in touch.
I sure will. Brian Batko. And the move he mentioned is I'm headed back to Trib Live, where I spent many years, to write columns. I think my new debut. Do we like the name of the column, Stark Raving? Is that going to be good, Limits?
I thought it was going to be the Savvy Old News Hound.
No.
The Savvy Old News Hound column. Is that too long of a title?
Yeah, that's a little cumbersome.
Yeah.
You don't like Stark Raving.
That's I do like I'm, it.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I just like the Savvy Old News Hound.
They used to call it Stark Ravings, plural. Mm-hmm. Which sounded like squirrel pellets or something. I didn't like it. I want Stark Raving.
Did you come up with it or did they come up with it for you?
They wanted to pluralize it, and I didn't want that. And now it won't be pluralized. So off we go.
Good choice.
Of course, nothing changes here. Things just keep going and keep going in the direction they're going, which is up and up and up and up. And we're going to celebrate our Marconi Award Wednesday. You going?
Of course I'm going, yes.
We get to order steak, don't we?
We do get a steak dinner.
It's our second steak dinner in a week, isn't it?
And you don't have to pay for it this time, Joe.
No, and I'm ordering bread pudding for dessert.
Do we get dessert?
I think we get anything we want, don't we?
Let's go. Do you think we're going to get those mini Marconi statues?
I don't know. I'm thinking about the lava cake myself.
The lava cake?
The statue's fine. I want lava cake.
To the place that we're going, I've never been there before, and I've always wanted to go.
So have I.
So I am. You've never been there either?
No.
I'm very excited.
Me too. All right, Limits. Where are we here? I know where we are. We're going to a report card. I mean, everything, the big picture questions are so pressing right now, and it's probably best to never look at that game again, but let's go back into the details and the horror of it all one more time next as we follow the report card here and do that. Are you game for that, O Limitless Wonder?
Please, let's do it.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not time for talk. You know, we agreed that we'll meet tomorrow and go from there. But, you know, when you're in this a single elimination tournament, man, it's not a whole lot to talk about. You win or you go home.
All right, Limits. Let's do a very, very bad report card, kind of like the ones I used to have at Amherst Junior High School. I've got some students in here from Franklin Regional. This nice man in the Pitt shirt is a Steeler fan. Can you turn the mic on there, sir? Can you turn his mic on? Talk into that mic right here. Yeah. Turn his mic on, Limits, would you?
Yeah, he's good.
What's your name?
My name is Nathan.
How old are you, Nathan?
I am 17.
Do you have any conscious memory of the Steelers winning a playoff game?
No, I do not.
Neither does anybody else your age. If our first conscious memories are at 5 years old, Limits, we have people heading off to college who don't remember the Steelers winning a playoff game.
Yeah.
But everything's okay, and Tomlin gets to make the call, and they're better than the mean, and the Jets would love to be the Steelers. Thank you, sir, and good luck with your career.
Thank you.
See you, buddy. They're having fun in here. They're filming the show. We have a volleyball player in our midst. We have a couple of other people. Wonderful, Limits. Do you remember when you were this age? Of course, it was just last year.
I do, because I remember being a podcast editor for my student newspaper.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a senior in high school, I job shadowed here.
Did you?
And I sat in the producer's booth.
With who?
With Matt Cole.
Falsey.
Yeah, Chris Mack brought me in.
Wait. Did and you ever tell me that story?
I might have. And
I remember
think
it.
You and Ron came in afterwards.
Ron didn't say hello to you, I imagine.
Not, and yeah. He, of course, did not remember my name. And I said hello to you, and it was really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I wish these guys all the luck in the world.
I job shadowed. It was like a Monday, but I was supposed to go on Friday. I showed up on the wrong day. So I called Chris, and I was like, hey, Chris, I'm here. And I'd known him for like a year or so through Baldwin.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay, I thought you were coming on Friday. And I was in my car at like 4:30 in the morning panicking, saying, oh no, oh no, oh no. But he was like, yeah, come on in. And it was awesome. It was a great experience.
That's cool. Well, you know what wasn't a great experience? You at the Steeler game last night. Was it empty? When did the place empty out?
About 3.5 minutes left. After the pick six, it was very bleak. There was basically no one left.
How vitriolic was the general vibe there in the crowd?
Angry. It was, I think, because people were just so quick to rush to the exits. You didn't hear like a mass exodus of boos, and I didn't hear the fire Tomlin chants from where I was sitting, but we've heard from multiple people that they did exist in various sections. So maybe I was just in, because I was behind the Texans bench. Maybe that side of the stadium just isn't as loud and isn't as, you know, maybe they're a little bit more cautious with their words. I don't know. But it was not. At first, it was a great atmosphere, Joe.
Yeah, it was a playoff crowd. It was great.
It sounded like a college game.
Yeah.
Because college games, I think, are so much louder than NFL games. NFL playoff games are loud. This is my first experience in a playoff game.
People were fired up, and it's been a while. And they got let down in unprecedented fashion with the worst home loss in the history of the franchise. To me, this can't go on if I were running things, but I'm not. I don't know who is. I guess Mike Tomlin. All right. Let's follow along with Ray Fittipaldo's report card. Are you ready for this, O Limitless Wonder?
Let's dive into it, Joe.
Quarterback gets an F, 17 for 33, 146 yards, no touchdowns, the fewest points ever for Aaron Rodgers quarterbacked offense in a playoff game. Do you agree with Ray Fittipaldo, an F for that?
Yeah, I do. Of course, the turnovers late cost them. The offensive line didn't help, but Rodgers played one of his worst games of his career.
Well, DK Metcalf sure didn't help him with that key drop after the turnover, but yes, I would agree, D minus to an F. Running backs, they had to abandon their running game when they fell behind. I mean, they really didn't, actually, because it was still 7-6 in the third quarter and 10-6 after three. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean going to the third quarter, it was 10-6. They didn't have to go away from the run.
Yeah, I mean, Jaylen Warren got abandoned in a lot of games this year. He gives the running backs a C. I don't know why. They should get a D. They didn't do anything. You?
I mean, I give them a C-. Part of it was just the utilization that Arthur Smith allowed the running backs to be in, or rather the lack thereof. They did not use Gainwell and Warren, two of their best weapons, enough.
Receivers, DK Metcalf's drop was a huge play in the game, says Ray. They would have been in Houston territory with a chance to go up 6-0 or 10-0. Instead, they had to punt. That was a big play. And Houston went 92 yards on a touchdown drive. Metcalf on the books for $31 million cap hit next season. Seems more like a number two than a number one. Ray gives the offense or the receivers an F. So do I. I mean, Metcalf, when he's not taking swipes at people in blue wigs, is doing stuff like this all of a sudden. This is awful. $31 million cap hit. What are we doing here?
The two plays of the game in my mind, Joe, was the third and 15 play, C.J. Yeah. Stroud to Christian Kirk for like a 35-yard gain.
Captain Kirk did a number on them, didn't he?
And DK Metcalf dropping that ball on what would have been, what, like a 30-yard completion?
Yeah.
Those are the differences in the game. Houston capitalized.
Well, no, the difference in the game is one team was way better than the other one. Do you really think things would have changed?
But if you're talking about key plays that can shift momentum,
I do agree
that. The
game,
those two were the ones where Houston capitalized. The Steelers didn't. So the receivers get enough.
Ray gives a very kind C- to the offensive line. What's going on here, Limits? They get a D-.
Yeah, they get a D for demerit.
I mean, Rodgers was clean for the first parts of the game only because he was getting rid of the ball faster than Mulsey got rid of his hair.
How fast did Mulsey get rid of his hair?
Pretty fast, as I recall, although I didn't know him then. Defensive line. Keanu Benton and Harmon got sacks. Black recovered a fumble. Hayward only had three tackles. He gives them a C. I give them an F. Like I've said a couple times, they made Woody Marks look like Walter Payton. They were okay at the beginning of the game. I mean, but they wore down and they got hammered.
I thought they were only around a C+. I didn't think they were terrible.
C+?
Like, they did make a guy named Woody. I thought Buzz was going to appear at some point and also shred them on the ground. You like telling Joe? Where
did you cry at Toy Story Limits, the first one when you were little?
I was so scared. Remember when they were, do we want to spoil Toy Story? I think the movie's been around for 25 years.
Yeah, I think we can.
When they were about to fall into that,
that
waste plant.
Yeah, it was horrifying.
They would have been disintegrated. Yeah. I was very scared at that. I looked away.
I'm sorry that you went through that as a child.
Thank you.
And Toy Story 2 was even worse.
Did you know that my mom never allowed me to watch SpongeBob when I was a kid? She didn't think it was appropriate.
I remember that.
SpongeBob.
Yeah. What was her objection?
She just didn't like the language in SpongeBob. She didn't like their tone and demeanor, I guess.
I like
that. The sponges were inappropriate.
I like that. Linebackers, again, Ray, I think, with a very kind C-. I mean, they got some things. Listen, the turnovers were more about Stroud than them. The one where Benton got him, Stroud's picking up his own fumble and then fumbling again. What was he doing other than begging to lose the game? They were horrible. T.J. Watt has now gone 5 playoff games and has 1 sack. They get a D-.
Yeah, Watt never had a sack in this game, right? He did not. He was shut out.
That's correct.
Once again, T.J. Watt, as you pointed out before, is going to be the modern-day Dick Butkus. He's never going to win a playoff game in his career.
It appears that way, and Cam may only wind up with one here.
I give them a C.
All right, secondary, they were horrifying. He gives them a D? They let Christian Kirk riddle them like he was Jerry Rice. I mean, he busted open about 4 long plays. So they need a safety. They need to draft a safety. Joey Porter Jr. has become a really, really good player. I will say that. But they have problems in the secondary. He gives them a D. I give him an F. You?
I give him a D. I don't think Ramsey at this point in his career is somebody that they should prioritize on defense.
I think
Duggar sucks.
They might want to cut him with his cap hit.
Yeah, Clark isn't any good. They're going to get Deshaun Elliott back, but
maybe.
Wow, they have problems. Asante Samuel, can he even play anymore? Maybe in the right defense. It's not this one.
Maybe as a bit player. I don't know. Special teams, nobody gives a crap.
Brandon Echols played awful, too, other than that interception.
Which was just a
C.J. Stroud is not that good, man.
What is he doing?
That's why I thought that they had a chance in this game.
Just kick a field goal. He's throwing off-balance passes into the ground at the 10-yard line, and they're getting picked off. What is he doing?
Stroud is he got lucky in that game.
And the coaching staff, thankfully, from Ray gets an F. I give him a what comes after F.
I give him a J.
I give him a G for god awful.
For jobs on the line.
Let's go through the whole alphabet. I give them a G for god awful, an E for
everything hurts.
Yeah. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
F,
an H for G. Horrifying. An I for incompetent.
Incomplete.
You say the letter and I'll give you the word.
J.
Jabronis.
K.
K. Worse than a K car.
L.
L. Losers.
M.
Magnificently terrible.
N.
Nothing happening.
O.
O would be...
Oh, no. They lost
like
again.
That. Oh, no. They're on the field again. Okay.
P.
Putrid.
Q.
Question for you. Why would you bring any of these guys back?
R.
Rerun.
S.
Not the first one that came to mind. S is just silly. This is getting silly.
T.
Terrible.
U.
Underachieving.
V.
Victory? Nope. That's seven straight losses.
W.
Why are we doing this again?
X.
I had to think about that too. X. X-ray. X. X. X marks the spot. Another touchdown in the end zone.
Why?
Yes. Why? Why are we doing this?
Z?
Z stands for Donatus Savoskis. They might as well have taken off their sneakers during the game and quit.
Did I forget any letters?
I
not count the alphabet correctly?
I don't know.
In my mind?
I have trouble with the alphabet too.
W,
it's
X,
been a while.
Y, and Z?
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Steelers' future next. What should happen? What will happen now? I think there's a better percent chance they run it back with all the key characters than not, which is absolutely incredible.
Texter, you guys are so childish.
Remember when Savoskis took off his sneakers against Dwayne Wade and Marquette Limits? Were you alive then?
When he was playing for the Cavs?
No, when he was playing for Pitt. Not that Savoskis.
I was thinking of Big Z for the...
Oh my God.
When he was playing with LeBron. I could never pronounce his name.
This is amazing. What you just said is the highlight of the show for me. I needed that.
Maybe we are childish.
I don't know. Where are we, Limits? I don't know what to read.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.